As we celebrate the solemnity of the Holy Family, there's a lesson that the church draws us into, that there's a faithfulness to the life of a family, and that faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness. Faithfulness of the life of a family will lead to fruitfulness. We hear in our first reading about the story of Abraham, and then in the letter to the Hebrews, we hear a commentary about this reading. So let's listen to this for just a moment. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. By faith, God called Abraham to these seemingly impossible things and to trust in the Lord's power that would all fall in accord with the Lord's plan. But Abraham had to trust by faith that these things would occur. And this is really what family life is all about. Like Abraham, a husband and wife, when they are married in the church, they enter a covenant with God and each other, promising that they will remain faithful in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, and to love and honor each other all the days of their life. And to help them with this, they receive a special grace from the sacrament of holy matrimony to be able to help them with this. Now, that doesn't mean that it's easy, even with the grace of God. It doesn't always mean it's easy. Living a life of faith in marriage is not easy. Living a life of faith in a family is not easy. And all of you who are married, or you have children, or you just grew up in a family in general, you probably know that. However, all the challenges that we face are tests of that faith. And those tests of that faith help sanctify us, just like Abraham was tested when he was asked to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. So, what are some of those challenges that we encounter in the life of a family in faith? Let's talk about a few of them. So, when a couple gets married, they make a promise to be open to the gift of human life and to give the right to their spouse to be able to have children. And the church sees new life in children as a gift from God to be received as part of God's plan. And to be in accord with that plan, Holy Mother Church asks that couples not use methods of contraception or birth control that would prevent new life from taking form, but to be open. It asks all couples to discern through prayer and taking into account their circumstances if the Lord is calling them to have more children. Really, what the church is asking is that we're just open to the gift of human life and to not close ourselves off from it. But unfortunately, society looks at children as a burden, something to be avoided. They're not seen as a gift. And that doesn't mean that having children is easy or it's not difficult for parents in many circumstances. But part of the test of faith is knowing that the Lord has a plan for this child that is brought into the world. And parents, and I think this is a very beautiful part of God's plan, they get to be cooperators with the Creator in helping that child to grow up in the life of faith, just as Jesus grew up in a family with Mary and Joseph. And in that way, that faithfulness to the covenant of the Lord, to that openness to life, that leads to fruitfulness. Now, of course, not all couples are able to have children for various reasons. And their fruitfulness is not diminished in any way, because that gift of faith and that faithfulness to your marital union, that can produce great fruit. And as hard as it can be, my encouragement for couples that struggle with this issue is to never give in to discouragement or despair, because the Lord can provide just as he did for Abraham. He can provide both in physical ways, of course, but he can also provide in spiritual ways to be able to help produce fruit, to work with people in other ways that can produce a spiritual faithfulness, a spiritual fruitfulness. Now, married couples and families, after they have children, they have a responsibility to be able to then nourish that faith within the family. They have an obligation to raise their children in the faith. And this is a promise the couples make on their wedding day, but also when they baptize their children. They continue to make this promise. And what that means is putting God first in all circumstances and not neglecting prayer or attending the holy sacrifice of the Mass on Sunday. Now, when we put the word obligation in front of something, it can often sound like a checklist item. And lots of things can get in the way of that, like sporting events or traveling or work or whatever the case might be. But if we are faithful to the Lord in this promise, he will notice that and he will reward us. Because part of his divine plan for family life is to give him glory and praise that is due. And he is part of that marriage and family covenant, and we shouldn't neglect that. After all, families make time for each other in their life. So should they not make time for the Lord? Making time for the Lord, too, it can also help families to discern. Abraham was called to move his family. The Holy Family was also called to move, especially during the flight to Egypt. And both parents, but fathers, I think, especially as the head of the family, have an opportunity to ask the Lord where the Lord is moving their family. Now, this can be a physical move, like we see here in our readings, but it can also be in general. So you might ask the question, how might our family be called to give more to the Lord? Or what is best for our family spiritually? Are there moves in our life that we need to make to be able to help with this? And to bring that question to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord will answer it for us. Part of that, too, is also letting your children be free. And to be able to educate them in that freedom. All of us are created with freedom. And your children are all given a very special mission from the Lord. And they need that space to be able to grow. They have the freedom to be able to make choices. And you hope that they make the right ones and they hopefully avoid the wrong ones. But it doesn't mean that you let them do whatever they want, but you educate them as the best you can in the faith so that they know how to wisely use that freedom that is gifted to them by God for the good. And the family, as the domestic church, they are also the primary educators of their children. So my encouragement is not to farm this out to someone else, like a school or religious education. Those can be very helpful tools, and we should use them. But parents still have the primary responsibility of educating their children. And to also respect that freedom that is gifted to your child exists, and not to squash it. And it can be hard to let go and let your children be free. Moms especially really struggle with this. But by letting go and letting them be free, knowing that you've done the best that you can, will allow for the fruit of the Lord's plan to happen. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about the gospel, more specifically about the presentation. And specifically what I want to focus on is Simeon. So Simeon was quite old, as this gospel describes, and he was told that he would not die until he saw the glory of the Lord. Now, he didn't know when exactly that was going to be, and he waited a long time. He wasn't exactly sure how that was going to happen. It just said that it would happen. He probably also wasn't sure exactly what to expect. He didn't know that the Holy Family was going to walk in and that was going to be the glory of the Lord coming in the Christ child. But what this demonstrates is that faith can often be tested by time. And our prayers can often be fulfilled in very unexpected ways. Maybe you're someone who's older, you've been praying for a long time for something, and you're not sure if God hears your prayers for as long as you've been praying. Or you pray for something and something happens and it's really unexpected and you're not sure how the Lord is working in this particular situation. But to have faith that he is, and that the fruitfulness of faith is not something that can be measured by our standards or what we think the outcome of those prayers should be. It's beyond human understanding. But knowing that God has a plan, and we have to trust that plan. None of the things were probably expected by Abraham till God revealed some of them to him. The Holy Family also had to trust in what the Lord was doing. And so for us, God is faithful. And if we trust that God is faithful, then it will be fruitful.